In the Loop with Chris, Zach, and Alex Lupica.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to In the Loop. Just want to remind you to rate this show on iTunes and SoundCloud, and be sure to tweet us at In the Loopica. That's with two O's in the place of the U. And before we get started here, we have to tell you about Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. All right, here we go. Time for a podcast. Hey, Chris, last week we did a pod on Zach's birthday. Now we're doing one on my favorite holiday of the year, National Sibling Day.
That's great. It's really exciting stuff. I've got some good videos from mom, a little trip down memory lane. So,
do you think that's why mom is sending those videos? That didn't occur to me.
It didn't occur to me until we just started doing the podcast, but maybe.
Zach, she sent around a video of me receiving a Furby for Christmas in what must have been 1995, and I was pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I think we all got Furbies. That was a big day.
That was a big gift. Those kind of gifts don't exist anymore.
Hannah was alive. That had to be like 2000, but you were close.
95, 2000, whatever it was, I was pumped about the Furby.
You're right, they don't. You don't see a Furby.
Like, is there
comp?
Yeah,
it's not
there,
out there.
Is there that kind of excitement around a single gift anymore? I remember Tickle Me Elmo kind of preceded the Furby, Chris. And then Furby was the kind of first big one I can remember.
We sound old and we sound like losers.
All right, that's fine. That's how it usually is. That's okay.
Tickle Me Elmo was legit.
Tickle Me Elmo was very fun. Yeah. I don't remember what the Furby did.
It was really annoying.
Yeah, it kind of just made noises.
It lived a full life.
No.
And you had to care for it.
You're thinking of Tamagotchi.
You know, oh, that's what I was just going to say. Those things were cool.
Yeah, Tamagotchis were sweet.
Mine always died young.
We should get a couple.
No.
Kloop, I just watched the McGregor doc, which is maybe my favorite documentary ever made.
Yeah, it's incredibly good.
So because of your odd weekends, I'd like to touch on this briefly.
Yeah.
You hit me up during your odd weekends, which is Monday, Tuesday.
Correct.
And you're always like, I'm watching this. I'm watching this.
I watch
like
a lot
movie,
of stuff.
It's movie after movie after movie. I love it. Like, how many movies have you watched,
Chris,
in just the last 24 hours?
I was just thinking about this because yesterday was a particularly heavy movie day. I might have watched four movies.
You texted me last night. We're like, I'm watching The Insider with Crow and Pacino. And I'm like, that movie is long.
That is a 2-hour and 40-minute epic.
Tour de force.
Pacino as the 60 Minutes producer. Crow as the whistleblower inside Big Tobacco. It's kind of everything you want.
What,
you
know? I'm like, you're going to love it.
Yesterday?
You and I?
Yeah. Something like Wind River and then...
The movie Fargo.
Fargo.
Chris, which is very similar to the show. It's very funny.
I've actually never seen the movie. Big fan of the show.
I love that accent.
Sort of leads me into something I put on the rundown because I'm in a weird spot right now, entertainment-wise. I'm between shows, which I hate.
Sure.
So I'm wondering what you guys are watching, if you have any suggestions.
I've been watching Sneaky Pete Season 2.
Yeah.
Yes.
God.
It's very good.
I watched half of Season 1, and now
it
I can't
feels
bring
like
my...
Two
I don't know whether
going to be better than 1.
I don't know whether to start in the middle or just pick it back up from the very top.
You should pick it. Well, you should pick it back up. I actually rewatched the first season with Kim because she hadn't seen it. And then she decided to call it quits mid-season 2. So now I'm on my own with season 2. But I'm liking it. Although
it
is
so good.
It's very heavy on the complexity and like all the different things going on.
Yeah, everyone's
kind
of getting duped.
Everyone's getting duped. No one is who they say they are. It's like Mission Impossible 2 with
Except
the mask.
Except him.
It sounds like an Oceans kind of situation.
It's something you would like. It's a con man, dude. It's
I mean, Cranston is executive producer, too. I don't know if he's going to show up in season 2. I'm hoping he is. But yeah, that's good stuff. But after that's over, I'm going into the vortex.
Kloop, I'm heavy into Friday Night Lights, the show.
Yes, you've been telling me that. Because I've watched that like 2 or 3 times.
I've never seen it.
It is terrific.
It's awesome.
It's very, very good.
I hear it's good.
But I just finished the first season, which was amazing. And then I was just texting Chris because the premiere episode of season 2 is bizarre. Like, there is a murder. The coach has a child. There's so much going on.
I think I remember that. I think I watched one season.
It's a weird start to the season. I hope it gets better, Kloop.
Yeah, well, that was just, it's even discussed, and I've read, like, the oral history of Friday Night Lights, I'm super into it. They were like, what is going on with the murder? Everyone was like, this doesn't make any sense for what the show is.
Yeah.
They sort of just, also, it's one of those things where you can tell the entire show knew it was off because they just completely dismiss it. They're like, yeah everyone's kind of fine.
Yeah. Murder, yeah.
Yeah, the body's gone, and the police are kind of off
away
the,
with it. I mean,
they're
it
off
happens.
The scent. Yeah, it's, we got it's no worries. Yeah, Friday night game, back to normal.
Kloop, if they had just, so the murder took place when Tyra is getting assaulted again by this guy that is stalking her.
Correct.
If they had just reported it, I feel like that's an okay murder, don't you? I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I feel like what Landry did in that situation was not unwarranted. Like,
very
was
philosophical conversation we find ourselves
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I guess so. But I'm just
a little legalese.
I'm like, call the cops, dude. And then you're on the bridge with the body and you're in too deep. So I think I have a lot of ahead of me, right? There are how many seasons?
A lot.
There's four, and 3 and 4 are both excellent.
Yeah, so that's going to keep me occupied. I'm excited.
See, that's what I need. I need light at the end of the tunnel. I got nothing.
And,
aren't helping
and
me
we're
out.
Coming to a very dark place in the sports calendar year. So that is not a nice...
Not dark.
It's like a storm brewing
we
for you,
Kloop. We got a three-game set with the Yankees and Red Sox tonight. It's as good as it gets.
You settling into the baseball season?
You got it.
I mean, we're going to talk... My new favorite athlete, Shohei Ohtani. Chris, I am so in on this kid. It is insane. I'm getting
what's not to love. I literally texted Zach last night. I go, how many times has he hit? Because I looked at the box score. He's not hitting. I'm like, why is he not hitting? I want live in. I go to MLB Network. I want live.
Can I set alerts? Can I get alerts, Zach?
Yeah.
For when Ohtani
hits?
Oh,
I'm sure you get alerts.
Yeah, I think I should set that up.
I'm sure a lot of people do.
Has there, and we're going to get into it. You're going to break down all the stats.
I can't wait.
But we've. I mean, Dad hasn't seen a week of baseball out of a player like we saw out of Ohtani this
Babe
week.
Ruth is the last guy to do it, 100 years ago.
One start.
Two starts.
Two starts, two wins, yeah. Took one perfecto into the seventh.
Three home runs.
Hit Jackson three consecutive games. Pretty cool. And Kloop, the Masters ended not as you would have wanted.
Of course not, man. Everyone was rooting for Jordan Spieth to pull off that miracle round and finish with a 62 and win that thing, but it just wasn't to be. Quickly on the Masters, I just feel like, I don't know if you guys agree, it just shows that just the lucky breaks that Reed got and then Spieth just hitting that little branch at the end. You sort of need that. You sort of need the breaks that Reed got, and you need like no catastrophes on Sunday. The ball didn't go into the water, and that's the difference in major championship golf.
One stroke. 100%. One stroke.
The ball didn't go to the water, and then he chips in. And
if that ball doesn't hit the hole, it's like off the green.
And he had that monster putt that he hit too. I mean, it was just everything was going his way.
And now it's getting awkward because everyone is just zeroing in on this weird family dynamic that he has going on. And I knew that was going to happen. Like, everyone would talk about him winning, and then it would immediately transition to this weird family thing, and it's kind of brutal.
I'm not privy to any of that.
We won't do that here.
Yeah, so.
Well, he doesn't speak to his parents or his family.
Well, what's wrong? I mean, he has an estranged family. It's like, well.
Neither does Aaron Rodgers. He just met the Dalai Lama today.
What, like, doesn't it make it more impressive? Like, I guess.
I don't know if anyone's had that take.
I would argue it, or just like based on what I know about it.
It's just strange, you know. It's like somebody wins something like this, and then immediately that people dig into the personal life, and that becomes the story more so than the green jacket. So
yeah,
sort of a bummer.
I mean, the Masters jacket gets tailored. You could tell it looked different on TV today.
Oh yeah,
he absolutely got it fitted.
He's a man who doesn't mind a little room.
Yeah, the shirt. I mean. He, on Sunday, he's a big fella to begin with, and then the shirt is a size too big.
It's not flattering. It's not Tiger. It's not Tiger tight.
It's, and the color, the pink he was wearing on Sunday.
It's very 90s golf.
He used to wear the red.
He used to wear the red, and now he doesn't anymore.
No, now he wins the red.
Is there a reason for it?
I think Tiger.
He said that?
No, but he used to wear red every Sunday.
And Tiger has cornered red on Sunday now?
I don't think he like made a thing of it. I think maybe Nike was like, Tiger's going to be the only one wearing red.
That would be really odd of them to do, but believable. Kloop, were you disappointed with Tiger or encouraged?
There's no way that you can be encouraged after the way he played. He's still pretty far away, and we talked about it a little bit last week because he didn't play well, and we kind of recapped the first round. it's clear that he still has an adjustment to make to major championship golf, which is different than winning the Valspar or playing well at the Valspar or playing well at Arnold Palmer at Bay Hill. It's just different because I think he puts a lot more pressure on himself in that spot, and there's just no room for error in major championship golf.
Yeah, Zloop, I mean, he's so far away from the best guys.
Yeah, I think that he's, it would be a miracle for him to win again or even be in contention. Like, I think what this tournament showed is how good all these guys are. It was all the best guys in the world.
Yes, it was cream rising to the top.
And they were all stepping up. Like, Fowler played well.
And they're all...
Spieth made his run.
They're all young. And Rahm is up there, 23 years old. Rory, going for the career slam, still not 30. And... You know, you're four over in that turn. And Chris, that's the other thing. He shoots, what, 68 on Saturday? 69? But that is a, you're playing a no pressure round, right? Like, Saturday and Sunday are without pressure for him.
I'm just not going to be
the
guy
who's
so
far away from the top.
They're talking about, well, his goal is to get to even. Well, even is 15 shots behind the leader.
Yeah.
So, okay, you can make up whatever goal you want, but that is not what we've come to expect from Tiger Woods, and that's not going to get me going.
No. What did Phil do on Sunday? I think he played terrible, but
Phil was at one point, was like 10 over.
Did you see the shot in the woods, the whiff in the woods that he took?
Yeah, dead whiff.
That was a concerning swing.
He also hit a tree dead on.
And we should make a correction just while I'm on the topic of Phil. Vijay Singh is not 66 years old, which I said last week.
Yeah.
But if you Google Vijay Singh age, that's what pops up.
You gotta check your sources, bro.
I know. It was too quick. But you all believed it, so.
And then I looked it up.
I wasn't completely at fault. Chris?
You're right.
Chris, Vijay Singh, not 66.
I remember being shocked when you said it, and then I was not surprised at all when Zach texted our group and was like, Alex is wrong by 10 years.
Like, there's a reason that was a shocking fact, because it was not close to the truth.
Also, I'm like, 66 and he's going low on a Thursday at the Masters? Damn.
Yeah, and he hung around. Do you think, and I want to ask you this, Kloop, back to Reed, he is not a likable figure in golf. Like Jordan is and like Fowler is. And
well, he has his fans because of what he did at the Ryder Cup.
Yes, but it's just weird. And Zach and I were talking about this weekend when we were watching Cooch, and we were talking about how everybody loves Cooch because he just appears to be this great, affable, like, fellow out on the course. But what if, and Zach and I were joking, like, what if Cooch was really just like a huge asshole in real life? Like, we wouldn't really know, but he's still this likable guy out on the golf course, so he has a huge following.
Well, that's kind of what's happened.
Just kind of presents himself as like a villain, I think, and that's why he has so many detractors. But it's just odd, like, this in golf specifically, the I don't know, characters that like emerge in golf and why they do.
Well, that's what people say about Bubba Watson, right?
Yes.
Everyone loved Bubba at first, and then it sort of like slowly trickled out that this persona,
let's put that on the record,
that the aw shucks persona that Bubba displayed like the first time he won the Masters might be a little bit different from who he really is as a dude.
Yeah. Like, he's a lefty, his nickname is Bubba, he wears the visor, it's all kind of great.
And but he's very, aw shucks, I'm just a kid from Augusta, Florida.
Exactly,
blah, blah, blah.
And then you see the YouTube video of him, like, berating his caddy.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if it's fair to honestly characterize Reed like that. I just think he's a fiery, intense guy, and whereas it's clear that Jordan and Ricky and Justin Thomas and a few of the other guys are, like, super tight, he's just not a part of that group. But yeah, you're right. It's a pretty arbitrary assessment, and I also think that all this stuff about him and his family just make people a little uncomfortable about him.
Zach, he was 24 in the world before this tournament, which I found surprising. I felt like he was almost certainly in the top 10 or 15.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't won a ton of tournaments.
Yeah, you got to win tournaments. Right? Like Fleetwood, Tommy Fleetwood is like
Tommy
14 or something.
Yeah. But Reed is, I mean, he's a guy I root for. It just happened to be that he was going up against the guys I root for more.
Right.
Like, I wanted Fowler to win, and Fowler played awesome too.
Yeah.
And gave Reed pretty much everything he could handle on the back nine.
Chris, Ricky is, I mean, it's unfair to say it's just happening. He has been for a while, but he is really the glaring golfer without a major right now, right?
He's the most due, yeah.
He's going to win one. He's finished in the top five a million times.
And it's not like this time he hid, you know, like and blew it away. This time he played real well.
I just think about how long we said that about Sergio. Like, he will win. He's always there. Like, there are guys that are always there and never do.
It's like the way we talk about the NCAA tournament. If there are teams like Arizona, people say Sean Miller can't get to the Final Four. Well, there's a lot of other stuff that happens that, like, is not really a part of in your control. Ricky went out and shot 14 under. He birdied 18. And, like, if Pat Reed misses that four-footer, they're in a playoff. It's just you need some luck at the end of the day to win some of these, especially when you're not necessarily the best player in the world, and you sort of have to wait for that to come your way.
2 years ago, I think he came in the top five in all four majors.
Yeah,
I think that's right.
And Rory comes in with all the expectation in the world, trying to complete the career slam. And this is the second time that him and Reed have gone head-to-head in a really, really high-stakes situation, and Reed has clearly gotten the better of him.
Yeah, I never thought Rory's going to win.
Never?
Not for a second.
Dude, on Saturday, when he gets locked in, it is as clear as can be. Like, he striped every iron he hit on Saturday. I was almost sure he was going to win. That's how I felt.
And then he completely folded Sunday.
Yeah, he folded like a
launcher. Like a good boy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens to Chinnacock. It's going to be awesome. Like, everyone is going to be there. It's going to be the same again. It's going to be all the big boys going at it. And
Shinny, Kloop. Shinny.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Are we going to go?
I don't know.
I think we should. Yeah, that sounds great.
All right.
You want to get to a couple other topics here, Chris?
Yeah, let's whip it around. Let's start with McGregor.
All right, Sloop, get me up to date on McGregor here. Last time we'd spoken, he was on his way to prison in Brooklyn. We had seen the video, but a lot has happened since then, both in connection to what happened and unrelated to his fighting future.
Yeah, I think he spent the night in jail. I think $50,000 bail got posted. He got charged with a felony.
Great mugshot. Great mug. Great mug hair. Shot. Yeah.
And then he was at the fight on Saturday night in Brooklyn.
I saw the picture of him outside, like, a bail bonds spot in New York.
Yeah, I was under the impression that some of the fighters had a restraining order against him, so I didn't think he was going to be there. And then he showed up, and the guy who's supposed to won and called him out after the fight, and hopefully now they're going to fight.
And there's also, Kloop, I'm hearing some talk around Mayweather and the possibility that he steps inside an MMA ring.
Yeah, it appears that now a little more clarity has emerged on this because, I mean, we've talked about this a few times. Like, there's no way in traditional MMA rules that that Mayweather would fight McGregor. It would be stupid. He would just get destroyed. But it appears that they're negotiating around a fight that is, like, limited MMA rules, yeah. So they wouldn't be takedowns or kicks, but you could use knees and, like, do some different things in the clinch.
I'm okay with that. Can I watch.
I'd be excited about that.
Chris, we would. I think that's an understatement.
I'd be psyched about that for sure.
I mean, with MMA gloves, I don't even care about, you know, forget it. I think just so long as Conor can punch him without a boxing glove on, that changes everything.
Yeah, you know? It'd be 4 ounce gloves, which I think is what they do in the MMA. And Mayweather basically gets to preserve his perfect record. You just wonder. I mean, this guy must really still want more money or need more money because he's supposed to have all this money and he's going to go and he could potentially get embarrassed pretty badly, which to me seems a little bit unusual for Floyd's persona.
Yeah, it's just, it seems like the last 5 years we've been hearing this is my last fight. I'm going out with this perfect undefeated record. And now every year this is who I'm going to fight next.
I mean, I can see the draw. All you have to do to make whatever, $50 million plus, $80 million, is, you know, step into a ring and do a modified MMA fight.
Yeah, I mean, if it's going to mean that Conor's going to get to kick Floyd's ass, then I'm in.
So you're excited for a McGregor v. Nurm, name we can't pronounce. Nurm.
Khabib.
That's a good fight.
That would be the best fight right now, yeah, for sure.
What is the other guy like?
He won on Saturday night. He didn't.
What weight?
155.
That's big for Conor.
That's what Conor had the belt at. And supposedly in September, there's a date, and Nurm was like, because that's the only way that he's going to get a big paycheck. And I don't know. I just want to see. I would rather see McGregor back in the octagon.
Chris,
full UFC rules.
Dana White must be spending a large portion of his day thinking about how to utilize Conor McGregor the best. Right?
Well, Dana White now, he doesn't have Brock Lesnar. He doesn't have Bones Jones. He doesn't have Ronda Rousey. So he doesn't have any, they don't have anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, the UFC is really in trouble. And that's why I thought that it was so funny to watch him posturing, saying, well, this is the worst thing that's ever happened in MMA. Like, well, it's not worse than your best fighter of all time, John Bones Jones, constantly failing drug tests and doing crazy shit. It's not worse than all the, you know, domestic violence issues that different MMA guys have had. It's funny because somehow, some way, Conor McGregor and 14 of his buddies were allowed inside the Barclays Center. So am I to believe that they, like, bum-rushed security and that nobody in the UFC knew that they were coming? That's kind of absurd.
Yeah, I saw your tweet about this. So you're essentially saying any day when MMA is in the headlines is not a bad day for MMA.
It's a great day. Any day that Conor McGregor is in the headlines is a great day for the UFC because people remember it exists. By and large, like, the UFC is not popular, but when Conor McGregor fights, people watch. And, you know, that's why it's funny because I you know, I, obviously Dana can't just be like, oh yeah, I'm cool with it. But there's also, it also came off as super disingenuous to say it's like a black mark on the UFC. First of all, it's combat sports. This is like part of it. You have shit like this happen.
Yeah, there's never been a negative thing like this that's happened for a fight.
No, and you watch the documentary and you see Dana at these press conferences where, like, McGregor and whoever, like, kind of touch each other. There were a couple incidents, one with Diaz
when he's throwing the water at him.
Throwing the water bottle, and Dana's like, we're shutting this down, we're shutting this down.
It's gone too far.
Yeah, this is out of hand. This is out, and you're just like, okay. This, yeah, you know, it's very good, but we see what's happening.
It's been happening the same thing with boxing for like 100 years.
Yeah, it's WWE, it's all the same stuff.
And I'm people sure you didn't think that Conor was going to throw that hand dolly thing through a car.
Yes.
I think you're probably
he
right.
He certainly didn't want, like, someone to get hurt. He certainly didn't want property to get damaged.
No.
But he did want him there, and that's the point. And it's like, for people to get sanctimonious and say, like, oh, well, what if, like, Eli Manning did that? Well, it's like, do you get the difference between sports? Like, between the UFC and, like, the NBA and why those two things are different, like, it's two men in a cage. So we have to lower our expectation for, like, the good Samaritan behavior of these guys.
And without, like, he can suspend him, but without Conor, he's got nothing.
Yeah, good luck suspending him.
Like,
then he's
in the last 2 years, I think I looked it up, they haven't had a card in the top, like, 20 pay-per-views. So they have no one right now. But I'd much rather see him fight Khabib in a... Coming off of this beef, I mean, I've bought into it now. Like, Khabib apparently went after Conor's guy. Conor flew in and went after him. And I'd rather see them fight. It just feels like it would be more of a fight and less of a Hollywood thing than if you fought Floyd.
You'd flat out rather see an MMA fight between Floyd and Khabib. Or excuse me,
Khabib
McGregor
and Conor.
Yeah. Than Floyd and Conor?
Yeah.
Than a modified Floyd and Conor?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, the doc, I can't say, is just...
When you watch those Diaz fights back, those things were
They have
wars,
him in
dude.
That, like, apartment, in his mom's house.
Yeah.
And it was, like, 5 years ago.
It speaks to how confident he was. It's crazy.
It just, it is an amazing portrait of, like, a rags to riches. What seemed like overnight, I know to him it probably feels like it wasn't, obviously, but, Chris, it's nuts to see him in his mom's place with the same girl, just, like, fighting his ass off trying to get out of Ireland, and then he's, you know, beating Diaz for a second belt.
Yeah, it's hard to watch that documentary and not be a fan of him. And people, it's just like the easiest take in the world to be like, he's gone too far. It's like, okay, well, this is part of the game, and
you'll
he does it
watching.
And he does it better than anyone, and it, you know, it's a good day for the MMA
and certainly like a window into his thinking, like, oh, you think I care about this? Like, do you know what my life was like 5 years ago? Like, it is all gravy for me, you know, from here.
Yeah, he's got a lot of money.
So much money.
Yeah,
I was happy for him when that thing ended. All right, you want to do Ohtani? Give me some stats. Just hit me with some Ohtani stats.
He's right now the favorite to win the American League MVP.
Wow.
In Vegas.
That's a good start. Keep going.
That's pretty much all I got. I mean,
age.
He's 23.
Throws a hundy.
Throws a legit hunter.
Splitter is nasty.
Good splitter, yeah.
Hitting jacks.
Took a perfect game into the sixth or seventh inning on Sunday.
He changed the swing. He was awful in spring training.
Yeah, 4-for-32 in spring training.
People did, yeah, they were sour on Ohtani.
Very.
Everyone's killing him.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
No.
Yeah, now they're all on my bandwagon.
Right. Clue. It's Ohtani.
Now everyone's on the Ohtani train.
It's funny because there must be so many teams who are like, I cannot believe we didn't try to do more to sign this guy. I guess he only like was willing to meet with a few teams, but
and they did.
You look at him now and you're just thinking, I mean, I read an article, it's obviously extremely early, but because of what he's doing pitching and hitting, like he has a chance to have a WAR, wins against replacement, that's going to be like historic because he's doing more than any other player does.
Yeah, I was just looking at what his WAR was and it's already up to close to like a game.
We were just talking about this, Clue, because I was saying it will be interesting if, you know, he's in a spot at the end of the season where he's got, say, 10, 12 wins. He's hit like 25 home runs, batting 290, quantifying that, and putting it up against, like, unreal offensive year from Trout.
Oh, yeah, this is going to give the analytical guys blood flow, and, you know, south.
I mean, if he has a year like you just said, that would be one of the most remarkable things that's ever happened.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But say Trout hits 45 homers and bats 390. You know,
and the Angels are like 120 and 42.
Yeah, and I'm living in LA working as like a stat assistant for the Angels because I love Ohtani so much.
You got to get a player tee and you got to wear it a lot this summer. I think that's the move. You got to get early player tee and start wearing it. This bachelor party this weekend is actually a great opportunity if you ask me.
Zach, this is a good looking guy.
Gorgeous.
Well.
Tall.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's strapping.
And apparently a clubhouse guy.
Oh, really? Yeah. Good guy, too? Oh,
yeah. Doesn't speak any English, but they love
him. No, yeah, exactly.
I'm just
Well, I hope he keeps doing it. I mean, I hope he keeps pitching and hitting bombs.
I know we're just flying around here in the MLB, but can I ask Zach something? This is bothering me. So I texted Zach the other night. Now all the best hitters, I've been watching a bit of baseball, a lot of Mets. So Yonis Cespedes, who's the Mets' best hitter, he hits second. So I text Zach, like, why now? And Bryce Harper hit second. I'm like, why do all the best players
hit second?
Why do all the best players hit second? You said more at bats. If that's true, then why do all the pitchers now hit eighth? Because wouldn't you get more at bats at eight?
Zach?
Well, the pitching thing is just a different way for teams to extend their lineup. They see the nine, they want the nine hitter to be like wrap around the lineup opposed to having it die at nine.
It's like starting a new leadoff guy.
Everyone's
like
just getting a little too hard over me. I got to be honest.
Baseball is getting crazy.
Talk about Aaron Boone leading off Aaron Judge because of how high his on-base percentage is.
Well, I don't think that's a good idea.
Kloop, so you've been watching a lot of Mets.
Judge bat second.
The 8-1, meet the Mets.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of Mets, but the analytical thing, it's like the Tampa Bay Rays now, they don't even start a pitcher on the fifth day. They just go all bullpen. They're going to lose like every game.
The Rays don't have a great team.
Yeah, this is something that upsets Dad too. I think that he doesn't the
shifting is out of this world
of relief pitchers, Zach. Eventually, there's going to be eight pitchers used in a game every game.
Yeah, the amount of pitchers per game used is going up for sure, and you're seeing in how much money relief pitchers are now making. The game's shifting from a starting game starters to earlier.
Just like get to the fourth inning and then start throwing guys.
It was
who
like
throw
2 years ago when the Indians played the Red Sox in the ALDS in the first game. Andrew Miller came in the fifth inning.
Red Sox look very good.
Played the Rays twice and the Marlins.
Yeah.
Tough to judge so far.
Winning some close games.
But David Price has been very good, which is promising.
Let's keep an eye on Ohtani, Chris. Keep me updated on anything I need to know Ohtani related. You see any headlines? You hear any rumors, any whispers? I want to know about them. Okay?
Absolutely. You should start taking lessons in Japanese.
That's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll get, what is it?
The Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, the Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, enter code Kloop for 30% off the Rosetta Stone Japanese.
What else do you have on here, Kloop?
Ohtani's not in the lineup.
I was going to say, I mean, look, we didn't tease it at the beginning. We had a really, we had a little internal argument on the draft, on what we were going to draft. So I gave the listeners, listener, thanks for listening, by the way, an opportunity to vote via the Twitter machine. And I don't have the updated numbers, but there were three options. One was chips and crackers. That was my favorite. I voted for it.
You have to get off. You have to get off the food thing.
Right.
It has to end. It ends today.
We had huge success with the meat draft. You could argue is the most successful segment we've ever done. We then had the pizza topping draft where we lost a little steam. I was thinking we could bring it full circle with snacks.
No.
That's pulling your 14%.
Is there still stuck on one vote? Clip, yeah, were you the one vote? Did you vote on this poll yourself?
I voted. I did. I started off with a smooth hundy for that because I was the only one who voted.
Add one to sports movie moments, in-game moments, is today's draft. I'll give you an example, Zach.
I feel like that kind of is not how we do it. But
no examples. You get the idea. Great moments in great sport movies. Chris, my board is divine. Zach's, I got a little peek at it while he was taking a nap earlier.
You napped.
He's also got some very nice moments. And based on how different ours were, I'm guessing you're going to have a few that we didn't think of either.
No doubt about it. And unfortunately, I'm just going to have to put my snack rankings in the drawer, and we'll bring them out for Food Month next year.
Okay, draft, sport, movie moments. Here we go. All right, Sloop, in the spirit of National Sibling Day, I'll let you choose the order here for our draft.
Oldest to youngest.
Oldest to youngest. The way it has been since the beginning of time. Kloop, that puts you in an awfully enviable situation atop the board with so many great moments on the board.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about a film in which just an unlikely ending, underdog story, playing with nothing to lose. I'm talking about Varsity Blues.
Basically
have the coach, Bud Kilmer, legendary coach. He exits the building at halftime, and they start to just basically run the oop-de-oop, which was five wide receivers. They were so ahead of their time, by the way.
Not Val Kilmer.
No, I said Bud Kilmer.
Yeah, you said
so, Bud. No, I said Bud. We can run that
We'll run it back.
Everyone knows I said played legendary by John coach
Voight.
Kilmer. Played by John Voight, Angelina Jolie's father. And they start running the five-receiver set. Like, the you could almost
spread
argue the birth of the
One,
spread
two,
offense.
Three,
people
four,
hadn't seen
five.
This. That how many receivers they got
Mike
out there.
Mike Leach actually drew his inspiration from that film. But at the end of the game, they throw it back to Billy Bob. You never expect to see that. He's got terrible hands. He couldn't catch it in practice. He reels
it
in.
The guy weighs 360 pounds.
And he was coming off a pretty bad concussion.
Is this the way where I run around pretending I'm lost?
Did James Vanderbeek go on to play at Brown?
They scanned my cat. and he's got the pig named Bacon.
Billy Bob has that one very dark night where he drives out onto the field and he's just drinking the whiskey
and
out of
shooting
the bottle
his shotgun.
Well, dude, Billy Bob had a rough time growing up.
Absolutely.
And Voight kind of raised him, and he knew he wasn't a great person, but he stuck with him.
And he was overweight, which gave him like some insecurity.
Right.
He's
actually gorgeous now in real life.
Yeah, he's lost a lot of weight.
I've looked him up recently.
You have, yeah.
That's a very funny one because that was one Zach had that I didn't have, Chris. So good job. Number two pick here. I'm going to take Michael Jordan against the Monstars.
Unbelievable. What a game.
What a game. You got Bill Murray subbing in at halftime. Michael with the stretch dunk at the buzzer to beat the Monstars with a bunch of Looney Tunes that shouldn't have had a chance.
And save his own life in the process.
And save his own life and, frankly, the universe. Barkley, Bradley, Ewing, Bogues, Johnson all get their powers back. And what a happy ending, Kloop. That was Zach's favorite movie growing up, Kloop. He would stay home from school and watch, I think, five times.
Underrated. Two quick things on that. One, the PlayStation game was unbelievable back in the day. You remember the PlayStation game? That was a great game.
Bugs was very good.
The second thing is
Bugs had a stroke.
Yeah, Bugs had a stroke.
So could Lola.
Yeah, Lola was all like the third best player. Go ahead,
Zach would always play with the Monstars.
It would smoke you.
It's so fucked up in that movie. Michael Jordan makes a hole in one. He goes to pick up his ball. The Monstars suck him down. Yeah. Or is it the Toon Squad? They suck him down.
The Toon Squad sucks him down, yeah.
And Bill Murray and Larry Bird, like, don't even really care. They just sort of move on.
And
then they go and play.
While Newman, his agent, like, is digging furiously, trying to find him, digging into the golf course.
Wait,
so
does Newman get into the game?
Yeah.
Sloop? He does, right?
Yeah.
I'm not good, but I'm slow.
Yeah. I'm not good.
You know what scene is also very good in that movie? When they go back to Jordan's house to find his secret stuff.
That's the best part. And that's a very fun part of the video game, too, when you have to go get his shorts and shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Really
yeah.
good.
Yeah. That's a good movie.
So you now with the turn.
Let me pull out my board. I think I got to go Julie the Cat Gaffney, save. Iceland shootout.
Stuff.
Gunnar Stahl, best player in the world. Triple D, glove side. Anticipating is yours. She does.
Bangor, Maine.
Yeah, from just a girl from Bangor, Maine. Beats out Goldberg for the spot. And then for some reason, nobody in the arena knows it doesn't go in, even though the puck's in her glove.
The buzzer doesn't
silence.
Yeah.
Like,
and people were like, where's the puck? Well, it's obviously in her glove. And then she drops it, and USA wins it all.
Zach, I was thinking that as far as that goes, I don't think that is as good a moment as a couple of the goals. Do you know what I mean?
Like
the high point of that movie is the shootout itself. Like, so you can have the whole shootout.
Can we talk about Bombay's decision not to play Banks with the wrist? Because I've been second guessing that one for years.
Yeah, but he scores a goal in the shootout.
Yeah. He puts him in the shootout.
Yeah. Yes, dude.
It's also very similar to the story of Jack O'Callaghan.
Let him play is all I'm saying.
Jack O'Callaghan, a miracle.
He's a kid, Alex. He's not like a 25-year-old adult playing for the Winnipeg Jets.
He was their best player.
I understand, but it's a junior.
And then he comes in and his wrist is...
It wasn't broken or anything.
It's a junior Goodwill Games, dude. Okay, so maybe you show a little sportsmanship and don't play the hurt kid, maybe ruin his whole career.
Put 99 in the game.
I think I'm going to go with a play that doesn't end up winning them the game, but in fact pushes them away from it. But it's Shane Falco on the fake field goal keeper. Saves the kicker from getting beat up by the bookies. Holding flag brings it back. So they move back, I think, 10 yards, and then they got to score again. But the play itself is goal.
It's never quite clear what's going on with the kicker and the bookies. It's only clear that he's in trouble, yeah. Right? And that... They need to. I don't even know why
they need to
not go for it.
No, they need to make. He needs to make the kick for some. He needs to make the kick, and Falco knows he's too nervous.
He's
to kick.
Too nervous to kick.
So he
it.
Kicks. So
he's
he
got
keeps
the
it.
Cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah.
On the field.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And he keeps.
And
it.
He breaks his leg.
I think he's smoking on the field.
Yeah. Right.
So we can safely assume the kicker needed Falco to win that game for him.
Bad.
To save his skin.
Yeah,
that's a good play. It's an overlooked play.
If somebody
play,
wants
Chris.
To take the next play, I won't be mad.
I mean, the next play with Roy from The Office.
Let's hook up.
Let's hook up.
I just realized that's Roy from The Office. Holy
oh, yeah. He was a receiver in his younger years.
And so he's not actually deaf.
Would have been a first-round pick. Had
John Favreau as the psycho linebacker.
You want that ball? Give me that ball.
I mean, that movie's
there's some good
we've
casting.
Talked about this so many times. They do not make films like The Replacements anymore.
No.
You have Hackman and Keanu at their primes, tour de force. It's just like, it has everything.
I think he's neck with a cheerleader.
Its players aren't supposed to be fraternizing with the cheerleaders.
Here's a non-play for you, Chris, but something that happened in a game in a little place I like to call Cape Cod. Ryan Dunn. Takes a perfecto into the ninth. He learns that the love of his life, Jessica Biel, is on her way to the airport. He says, this thing isn't going to even make the front page of the Globe tomorrow. That's my wife out there. Leaves the perfecto, goes and gets the girl. Ultimately gets taken deep by Ken Griffey in his first at-bat.
And he gets signed by Hank Aaron and the guy who plays Dr. Cox in Scrubs.
That's right. Hank Aaron. Great
while he's
cameo.
Like at the airport.
So I've got Dunn leaving the mound to go get Beal.
Shout out to the dude who locks it up, though, in the ninth.
Hey, the best closer in the league. Yeah, he wakes up. He comes in and stuffs yeah. him.
The guy who sleeps. Also a great manager figure in that movie, Chris. Dennehy.
Yep. Absolutely.
Love him in any sports movie. There you go.
All right, so I'm going to go with two almost plays, all right? Little Big League.
Lou Collins
comes up against the unit in the ninth, trying to clinch a playoff spot for
you're
the Cubs.
You're not watching this to see if you're a Mariners
fan. Excuse me, for the Twins. And he hits an absolute cock shot, which was like impossible to do off the unit, especially in a relief situation.
And it gets knocked down by the wind inside the dome.
And Griffey just runs it down, makes the play. But ultimately, what a ride for the Twins that season. I mean, they had no business being in the final game of the season.
And what does Billy Haywood say to him before the at-bat?
Hit a homer and you can marry my mom.
And then,
just a weird love triangle.
Yeah,
there,
it's a very odd situation.
It's also strange that a 12-year-old could manage a team, but he does a tremendous job.
Yeah, that movie is also incredible.
He pretty much sells them with that one moment in the owner up in the owner's box where he gets the scenario from the pitching coach.
Yeah, and
he,
if like, three guys can paint a house in 6 hours, how long did it take them to do it with two guys?
That movie is so good.
So
how big is the house?
No, and then the
what
one guy,
is the, house?
The guy goes,
what color paint?
Yeah, what color paint? And the other one, and we saw this basically at the Masters, but Tin Cup. I mean, I think that scene is epic, and it makes the movie better than if he stuffs it and makes the putt.
So we were talking about Tin Cup. There are a couple in there that you could take. And the 12-shot one is great. But my favorite shot of the movie is when he's caddying for his buddy, Don Johnson's character. And Phil, like, is egging him on, and he puts it on the green at the beginning of the movie.
He bets him, yeah.
I've stopped watching the end because I don't like it.
I think it makes the movie better. It's like totally his character. It's perfect.
Zach, you also
mentioned... What does he do? He's trying to go for 10 under, right?
That's yeah, he's trying to go for 62, just like Spieth was.
Not even Nicklaus.
Not even Nicklaus.
No,
it's me.
Yeah, it's you.
Okay. Okay, so Hoop takes Tin Cup, Little Big League. I've got Michael Jordan and Summer Catch so far. Kloop, I think I'm going to take I Write Wiggle 34 Switchblade. Mike Winchell, Friday Night Lights, just comes up a yard short. I don't know if I had seen a sports movie to that point that ended in that way. Like, do you remember seeing that movie for the first time, Zach?
Yeah, for sure.
And it was kind of, it was...
But it's based on a true story.
I didn't know how it was going to end.
Yeah, I don't remember if I did.
And, man, did they come close, Kloop.
They did. The moment where, what's the actor's name? The country singer?
Winchell?
Tim McGraw.
Tim McGraw gives his son the championship ring. I mean, yeah. that's a touching end of the movie.
And I was trying to decide.
Although
because...
it was the semifinal in real life, and they made it the final. In
true.
The, but
and in the show, at the end of season one, spoiler alert, I'll give you a chance to log off here. There's a much more celebratory ending in state, Kloop. And I wasn't sure how they were going to do that.
Sounds like they win.
I wasn't sure if they were going to lose or win. And I was pretty happy when they won, I got to say.
Well, there you have it.
The Mud Bowl, Kloop, is also very good in the show. The penultimate.
Building a football field, Saracen.
The penultimate episode. So, there you go. Michael Jordan, Summer Catch, I Write Wiggle, Zach. You have Julie the Cat, Shane Falco.
Cap it off for us, big guy.
I think I got to go with a play, another negative. It's an intentional walk. Major League 2. He could pitch to Beck. I think the Indians, the White Sox have second and third. They're up one. They're trying to go to the World Series. Rick Vaughn on the mound against Jack, against this guy named Beck. Parkman on deck, the rival. Walks the bases loaded to face the best pitcher, best hitter in the league. Eventually gets Parkman to fly out. Indians go to the World Series.
I thought you were going to say when Dorn steps into one to get on base there.
Step into it, and then he refuses to come out.
Dorn is doing some calisthenics on first.
I want Parkman. Well, Beck's the hitter.
Beck's the hitter. The character arc of Rick Vaughn from the penal league,
yep,
as a young flamethrower to
the model,
to the model, rich guy, too cool for school, back down to earth, puts the glasses back
on. When he has the meltdown interview with Jay Leno in the second one.
Oh my god, the Leno interview.
And
it's
then
so good.
My cousin was friends with the judge. He's a transvestite. And then Leno just goes, your cousin or the judge?
I forgot about that Leno.
It's so funny.
Okay, so Cliff, you finished with Varsity Blues, Little Big League, Tin Cup. I've got Jordan in Space Jam, Summer Catch, I Write Wiggle from Friday Night Lights, Zach, Julie the Cat, Shane Falco, and your last one was what? I forget.
Rick Vaughn.
And Kloop, do you have any honorable mentions you want to throw out there?
No. In the snack and cracker draft, Cheesy would have gone really high for me.
And I would have taken Goldfish.
Bro. And spoiler alert.
No, there will be no snack draft.
Wow.
All right.
That's that, Kloop. Okay?
Well, we'll
stop
see
voting
you
on your own polls.
Happy Sibling Day. We'll see you next week.
Happy Sibling Day.
Thanks for listening. All right.